Cool. We're recording.
I'd like to welcome everybody to the December meeting of the Upper Trinity Groundwater Conservation District Board. We're meeting here in our offices in Springtown. If you wish to speak on any of the subjects on the agenda, if you'll hit the chat, and if you're watching by video, if you'll hit the chat function and let Doug know, then we'll get to you at the appropriate time. Director Watts, would you call a roll, please, sir?
Jared Reynolds.
Absent.
Richard English.
Absent.
Shannon Knave.
He should be here shortly.
Tim Watts here. Don Micah.
Working. You have to jack with the
present.
Brent Wilson.
Here.
Mike Berkeley. Here. Tracy Messler.
Here. We do have a quorum. Ready, please stand and join me in the pledge of the flags.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Doug, we have anybody registered for public comment?
No, sir. Tracy, but before we get started, I'd like to introduce Drake. He is our newest field tech. He started Monday. And Drake, this is some of our board. It's Tim, Tracy, Mike, Don, and Brent.
And you haven't run him off yet? Good.
No, he's had a good couple days. Drake's from... He's
glad to have you on board.
He's from the Metroplex and has his degree in water resources from Texas State.
We finally branched out to another university.
Yeah.
Go to the preliminary. I open the preliminary hearing at 5:04. Receiving public comments, requests to contest, and the general manager's report and recommendations regarding the applications for historic use permits identified in the notice of public hearing on proposed historic use permits for today's hearing, which was posted separately prior to November 16, 2021, in accordance with district rules, in which it is incorporated herein by reference. And then I get to go with my essay, don't I?
If you want to read your intro, go ahead.
Mike, if you want to go get your sandwich, you can. I'm gonna be a minute.
You can get your sandwich. Hey.
He said if you want to, he's got to read this. If you want to go eat your sandwich.
Remember those long essay? We have a quorum present. On behalf of the board, I'd like to welcome everyone and declare the hearing and board meeting open to the public. Let the record reflect that the preliminary hearing of proposed historic use permits began at 5:04. As required by law, this hearing has been recorded. This hearing will be governed by the district rules, Chapter 36 of the Texas Water Code, and all applicable law, as the board will consider taking action on some or all of the historic use applications before us today if they are uncontested. Presiding officer notes that the notice requirements for this hearing have been met. Apart from the regular board meeting notice, a separate public notice for the public hearing on proposed historic use permits was provided the general manager no less than 30, no more than 35 days prior to today's hearing in compliance with district rules F.3, subsection D, and E.4, subsection F. That notice included the information that is required by district rules and was posted at a place convenient to the public at the district office, provided to the county clerk of each of the four counties in the district for public posting, and provided to any person who has requested to receive such notices to the district. Additionally, the notice was also posted on the district's website. Finally, notice of the hearing was also included in the notice for the board meeting, which is posted in compliance with the Open Meetings Act. Unless there are any objections, I'll ask the staff to include a copy of the notices in the administrative record for this hearing. Are there any objections to the sufficiency of the notice? Hearing none. The notice included a list of some 65 historic use permit applications included in the hearing notice. When I refer to the applications, generally those are the applications to which I'm referring, unless otherwise noted. Because this is only the district's third permit hearing on applications for historic use permits, let me cover some procedural matters and explain how we'll work through the applications through this hearing. It is my understanding that our general manager is in agreement with the applicant's maximum historic use claims on each and every application before us today. So he will not be contesting any of those today. For those applications that are not contested, it is my intention today to give the board the opportunity to actually consider and vote on the applications. We may complete consideration and approval of all applications. Or we may continue one or all applications if an issue arises, or we run short on time, or as provided by our rules, if at least two board members disagree with the GM's proposed permit and want additional evidence on an application, we will do so. Or if we receive any valid requests for a contested case hearing on any applications, we will likely defer those to a future date to consider. Our rules provide that the official record for uncontested applications may be our minutes, an audio tape, or hearing reports. We are making an audio recording of this hearing, but we may substitute meeting minutes later to serve as the official record of this hearing. Because we're making an audio recording of this hearing, I would ask that anyone who speaks clearly identify themselves on the record. Even if uncontested, the board is bound by law to evaluate each application on its own merits and look at all relevant information and then review the statutory criteria to make its final decision. As required by the district's rules, the district's general manager and staff have done quite a bit of work and analysis during their technical review of applications. The information in each application and the GM's technical review, recommendation, and proposed permit is summarized in the board packets of each board member, which we received previously. If any board member is interested in reviewing an application further or asking questions about an application to the staff, we'll have a chance to do so when we get to that application. The way the hearing will proceed is I'll ask the general manager to run through and describe the nature of his review and analysis of the applications, then summarize his recommendations and the basis for those recommendations. The board will then have a chance to ask the general manager questions or even go through information in the applications. If the applicant is with us, we'll certainly give the applicant a chance to make any statements to the board that the applicant desires. However, given the general manager is not contesting any of the applications he has reviewed on today's agenda, it is really not necessary for the applicant to make any presentation if the applicant agrees with the general manager's recommendation and believes that there is enough evidence in the record to support their application. If the applicant wants to add anything to the record today, would be the time, though. It would be at this point in the proceedings for anyone to comment on the merits of an application or to ask questions of the general manager. To make sure that our record satisfies legal requirements, which includes the requirement that information that the board consider be based on sworn testimony, I will need to swear in anyone making a statement. Is there anyone who intends to speak on any of these applications? You have any notice? Okay.
I have received none.
Okay. After we're done with questions for any uncontested applications, if there are no open issues to be discussed, I'll ask for a motion from board on the applications. Upon the granting of an application and assuming the applicant is in compliance with the district rules and all applicable laws and has paid all fees due, the district will issue a permit to the applicant. The applicant's right to produce and use groundwater shall be limited to the extent and purposes stated in the permit. In denying any applications for permit, the board shall issue an order setting forth its reasons for such denial. If we have an application where questions are asked that can't be answered today, we'll likely continue that particular application until our next hearing. We don't have to continue it, but it may be appropriate for us to do so to allow the general manager to gather additional information or to contact or call the applicant to request attendance at the next hearing. We'll make a decision on whether to continue it on a case-by-case basis. I would like to note for the record that the district has not received any requests for contested case hearing for any of the historic use applications before us today. However, our rules allow someone to appear at today's public preliminary hearing and attempt to contest a permit application. Requesting a contested case hearing is different than just making comments to the board on the application. Both are allowed, but requesting a contested case hearing is requesting to be named as a party in a contested administrative hearing, in essence, an administrative trial on the application. So before we go any further, is there anyone here today participating in the hearing that wishes to formally request a contested hearing of any applications? Hearing none. Although no one has advised that they intend to request a contested case hearing on the application, you can certainly provide public comment on the application you are interested in when we get to that point. Because we have not received any contested case hearings on any of the applications, because the general manager is recommending permit issuance on each of the applications, I hereby declare the applications to be uncontested. Unless there are any questions, we will go on to review the applications to secure the sworn testimony from the general manager on all the applications before us today. Let me swear him in. Doug, please raise your right hand. With respect to all the applications before us today, do you solemnly swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. Please proceed with your overview of the applications.
Thank you, Tracy. Just a brief summary. You know, we've gone through, this is the third one of these. We did a hearing for all the HUPs in Hood County and those in Parker County, and then we've combined Wise and Montague County into this hearing. And just as a refresher, we basically have categorized all the historic use permit applications we have into two groups. The first are those that are requesting a volume equal to or less than their maximum historic use, and those that are seeking an extrapolated historic use based on information provided. So they're asking for something greater than their actual maximum pump volume. All the applications we've taken up so far, and then those on the agenda today, or those on the notice today, fall into the first category. They're requesting either a volume either less than or equal to their maximum historic use. So all of these were declared administratively complete back on November 12th, and they're scheduled for hearing, and notice was sent out on November 15th. So I'm going to go through not each and every one of these because there's a lot. But as Tracy said in his opening, I am requesting approval of all of those, of everything that's on the agenda today. So again, these are all in Wise and Montague County. So we've got multiple systems from Aqua Texas, one system from Bar J Farms, multiple systems from Bedrock Production LLC, multiple systems from BKV Barnett LLC, a system from BW Properties from Carlos Huerta, a system from Certified Storage, Chico Production Corporation, Chris Holmes, City of Boyd, City of Chico, City of Newark, Capano Energy, Dickie Cox, Eagle Ridge Operating has multiple systems, Elion Operators, Emma J. Garrettson, Goldberg ISD, Jerry Thompson, Carl Clement Properties, Inc., Kyle Irwin, James Davis Lucas, Martin Marietta, Maurice Jackson, Michael K. Young, Nye America has multiple systems, Prairie Oaks Ranch LLC, Red River Authority of Texas, Redneck Paradise, Ronnie Walker, Rosemary Ditto, and Sage Natural Resources has multiple systems. Sauter Land Holdings has multiple systems. Scout Energy Management has multiple systems. Shoup Family Partnership, Jeff and Patsy Skinner. I apologize, it's fuzzy up there and it's really tiny on my screen. Southwest Water Company has one system. Targa Midstream has two systems, and Wayne P. Birchfield. So those are all the systems that are up for hearing today. I'm happy to answer any questions. As Tracy mentioned in his opening, staff has gone through each and every one of these systems, and all the packages were provided to you guys last week. They were provided to the applicants 30-plus days ago. And in each application package, so for every one of these systems, staff has put together a package that includes the historic use application, a draft proposed permit, maps showing the entirety of the system with all the wells, a zoomed in map of each well site, either appraisal district records, deeds, or leases that show the applicant's ability or legal authority to produce groundwater from those wells, something showing whoever signed the application as signatory authority, and for public water systems, drought contingency plans. So each and every application package contains all of those things. They have all been reviewed by staff, put together by staff. I've reviewed all of them and have recommending approval of the applicant's request. Again, each of these applicants are requesting volumes that are less than or equal to their maximum historic use actually pumped and produced, which matches up with records provided to the district during that maximum historic use period. So I'm happy to answer any questions that the board may have or any of the applicants may have, but at this time I would make the recommendation to approve all of the applications as presented and included in the notice for the preliminary hearing on proposed historic use permits for today's hearing.
Does anyone on the board have any questions for Doug on any of the applications or the review that was conducted by the general manager and staff? At this time, unless there is an objection, I'm going to direct the entire packet of information to Doug, to the board on this application.
Tracy, somebody has a question.
Yes, I'm Melanie Peterson from Solid Case Branch. I'm not sure if we're considered the multiple application, but I did not hear my name on the list.
Yes, ma'am. So these are historic use permits. We have a separate hearing once this is concluded for Solitude Ranch.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Yep.
So not on this topic? Okay. At this time, unless there is an objection, I'm going to direct that the entire packet of information provided to the board on these applications prepared by the general manager, including the applications, technical review, recommendations, proposed permits, and all other supporting information be included in the administrative record for this hearing. If any member of the public wishes to provide comment on any of these applications, they need to do so at this time. If the board is ready to move forward with the decision on the permit applications, we can do so now. In doing so, the board must consider the general manager's presentation and evidence given at the hearing and the criteria in Chapter 36 in the district's rules for granting or denying permit applications. Do I have a motion to take action on these applications? I have a motion to approve the general manager's recommendation. Motion by Director Micah. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Director Watts. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. And show that Director Nave arrived at 5:19 and was present for the vote. That wraps up permit hearing today. I will continue the hearings. No, we will not be continuing the hearings. And show that we are closing this public hearing at 5:21. Thank you, everybody. Now I go to a public hearing, receive public comments, request to contest, and the general manager's report and recommendations regarding the following applications for permits, permit amendments, and or requests for exceptions to the district's water well spacing or minimum track size requirements. You want to take them together or separately, Doug?
I'll go over each one separately and have a recommendation after each one, Tracy.
Okay. Let me go ahead and read it on the record. Application A, item A is Solitude Ranch LLC in Alvord, and item B is Mahendra R. Modi out of Watauga.
Yes, sir. So the first one I'm going to go over first, just a general, I put this up for all of our operating permits, just a reminder that District Rule 2.9 basically states that the board shall grant the operating permit for the lesser amount of a reasonable non-speculative amount of annual groundwater or the applicable annual groundwater production allowable per contiguous controlled acreage. And I'm going to go over those amounts for each of the two applicants. And so the first applicant is Solitude Ranch. This is in Alvord, Texas. They're requesting an operating permit to drill and operate a well on their property in Wise County in order to provide water for clubhouse and some restroom facilities. It's a hunting game. I believe there's a shooting range type of stuff on the property. They're also going to be providing water for, I believe, for waterfowl as well. But that's like an exempt use of this well. So there's a non-exempt and exempt portion of this for this well. What we're dealing with is the non-exempt portion for the clubhouse. So this is. The well ID is 16013 is the well associated with the permit. The permit's 191WOP. They're proposing to drill a well to 300 feet, 6-inch casing, 7.5 horsepower pump, producing 50 gallons a minute. Required spacing is 1,000 feet from the nearest well and 250 feet from the nearest property line. Both of those are met, so no exception is being requested. You can see the map here that's on the screen showing the proposed location of the well. I believe district staff has been out there, measured it, and has flagged the area and flagged the location. The larger circle shows 1,000 feet. There's no registered wells. There's no any obvious wells within that 1,000 feet. And then the smaller circle shows 250 feet. So it's just over 250 feet from the property line. So in regards to the maximum allowable groundwater that they could be allocated, district rules discuss an allocation that's based on the thickness, the average thickness of the aquifer, or the total depth of the proposed well multiplied by 500 and multiplied by the acreage owned or controlled. The applicant owns 308.47 acres. The average aquifer thickness is 368 feet. However, they're only proposing to drill the well to 300 feet. Therefore, they only get allocation for 300 feet. So therefore, their total allocation that could be granted to them is 300 feet of the total well depth multiplied by 500 multiplied by 308.47 acres. So it's just over 46 million gallons. They're requesting 1 million gallons. So as with all operating permits, we do some impact analysis. We do two types of analysis. We look at local impact analysis, where we use it's a TTIM model where we simulate production of the well. We insert some observation wells into the simulation to basically look at what kind of local impact the well would have, right? What the well is going to do to the groundwater levels in the area immediately surrounding the proposed well. So the map on the bottom shows the simulated wells that were included in the model run. I believe they were placed at 1,000 feet and 500 feet away from the proposed well, northeast, south, and west. The model was ran, very limited impact, a foot in the proposed pumping well and less than a quarter of a foot in each of the observation wells, largely due to the volume. And just, I mean, you know, when you're looking at that kind of acreage and that amount of area, you know, a million gallons really in a whole lot. We also do a regional impact analysis. And this is, we take the full GAM, you know, the state approved groundwater availability model. We look at three different pumping scenarios. The first pumping scenario, the baseline scenario, is the pumping scenario that DFCs are based on. Of course, you know, we're charged with managing the resource to achieve desired future conditions. So the baseline pumping and on the top, the table on the top left, these are volumes are in acre feet. So this is the pumping. The baseline pumping is the DFC pumping. The 2020 estimate is an estimate of all pumping currently occurring in the district or as of last year. This is based on reported data and estimates of exempt pumping. And then the third column or third two column, the third group of columns are estimate of 2020 pumping with the addition of this project. So we're able to insert this well into the GAM and input pumping parameters for this well, and then rerun the GAM. So you see that this proposed project adds 3 acre feet to the outcrop of the Antlers in Wise County. After running the model, this project has no additional impact on regional water levels. So the 2020 estimate shows at the end of the simulation, which I believe is in 2070, to expect 24 foot of water level decline in the outcrop of the Antlers. And that is the same water level decline shown with the addition of this project. So basically no additional regional impact. Again, it is a smaller project. So again, this is the applicant is Solitude Ranch LLC. They're applying for an operating permit, requesting 1 million gallons per year. And it is my recommendation to approve the operating permit for 191 WOP as presented in the amount of 1 million gallons per year. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Board have any questions? Manager?
I do. Is it considered a public well? Public water well?
I don't believe so. We talked to them. I mean, obviously that's between them and TCEQ, but I think they've determined that it was not.
A is in the owners or TCEQ?
I believe, have we heard from TCEQ? No, we have not heard from TCEQ.
Do we need to hear from them first?
We could always. I mean, it's up to you guys. And things that are clearly public water systems, we generally, you know, require that TCEQ approval. Typically with what we see with, and we've gone through this with TCEQ in the past with these event type centers, TCEQ is hesitant to tell them on the front end that is a public water system. There's a gym right down the road over in Azle. I mean, you know, it's a gym. People are going to be there every day. TCEQ told them it wasn't a public water system. They told them to keep logs though, because if they get audited, TCEQ is going to want to see the number of people in and out of there on a daily basis. Wedding venues that they kind of do the same thing. There's a wedding venue route down here that TCEQ went and checked out, and they determined it was not a public water system based on what the owner and applicant had told them is the number of events they were going to have on an annual basis. You know, when it's a clear, you know, clearly public water supply, you know, a subdivision, an RV park, you know, something like that, TCEQ will make that determination. But when it's one of these situations like an event center, in my experience, TCEQ is, they're not straightforward on giving that determination on the front end. They usually come in after the fact and audit the people.
Change it to a public water well.
It would, but you know, we're not TCEQ. So I've actually had multiple conversations with TCEQ over the last 2 months about this exact thing.
Seems like TCEQ is being a very helpful entity that's looking out for the citizens.
Very, very helpful.
Fair question. 368 feet of water that can be factored into the overall use, but the well depth is 300 feet. Are we fully penetrated on this well?
Based on the model and based on the proposed well depth, no, it looks like they're going to be about 68 feet short of the bottom of the aquifer.
So our rules and regulations relate the fact to fully penetrate the aquifer.
We can require that if we would like to, yes.
Isn't that our rules?
It is, yes.
So wouldn't we require them to follow our
rules? I guess the point is the approval of this based on what is known.
So in them, in the Antlers is, it's a lot more clear cut in Parker County, where we're talking about the Paluxy, Glenrose, Twin Mountains. Because that's what that rule was based on, right? It was like, if you're going to produce out of the Paluxy, make sure you fully penetrate the Paluxy. The Antlers, there's layers of it, right? It's not like you don't have the Glenrose doesn't exist as a regional aquitard. And so you've got, you know, more local layers of sand and shale that might separate. So the Antlers is just a little bit different in my honest opinion.
Because of that, should we say 300 feet or to where they hit the next hard rock past that? But not necessarily make them go all 368 if there's a confining layer between.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the model is the model. I don't think the model's off 68 feet, but I mean, it's probably, you know.
No, but you just said the antlers is layered as well,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And from my experience up in Montague County, you've got layers of confining material in
you do.
Water sands. So they at least need to go down the next hard rock,
yep.
Hard rock, yep. Confining a layer.
Yep.
That would be.
No, it's a valid question. And
setting the precedence at this point forward.
No, you're right. I just to be completely honest, I generally think of that when we're south of here, where, you know, you've got a true aquitard in the Glenrose and, you know, and that was, I think that was the logic behind that rule in there, was to make sure that folks are drilling domestic wells in the Paluxy or fully penetrating the Paluxy, or you know what I'm saying?
No, I think that was the reason for the rule, was because some drillers were coming in and getting into the water and stopping short. And then when the water table dropped, those residents didn't have water.
Correct.
A lot of money to get it fixed.
Correct. I don't... That's not the situation up here. I mean, even at 300 feet, they're going to have a couple hundred feet of water in the hole.
I mean, is there any way to fix this based upon the information or the questions being asked, just to tidy it up? Is there any way to do that in the short term?
As Tracy said, we could require that they drill to obviously a minimum of what they proposed, or continue drilling. If they're still in sands at the time, drill till they hit a confining unit.
And that would meet the spirit of our rule.
And it would, because
without requiring them to go 368,
because
they hit something else in between.
The antlers, and you have to understand, you know, when we're talking about the antlers, we're lumping together multiple geologic units.
Yeah.
And so theoretically, if you really put those geologic units in place, they're penetrating multiple of them. But which ones are they going after? It's just because it's the antlers, and it's kind of a mishmash, and you don't have this regional aquitard, is why, you know, it's a different situation, I guess.
Are you comfortable going to the next confining layer? I mean, what you think we need to do?
Well, I mean, I'm comfortable really with whatever Doug chooses. I see here he's made the recommendation, you know, to approve.
Well, and so keep in mind, and this is a good discussion, but keep in mind, you know, this isn't like, so they're not seeking an exception. So the application for the well is not being discussed here, right? That meets all of the district's requirements. They're not seeking an exception. My recommendation here is simply for the permit. And so the way this works is once the board approves the permit, or if the board so chooses to approve the permit, then as part of the process, then the general manager then approves the well application. But if the board then directs me to add something to it to drill past, you know, as per our rules, to make sure they're fully penetrating the formation in which they're trying to produce water from, then we can do that.
So
it's just, I find it more difficult to enforce that in the antlers, because it's even hard for me to kind of grasp to tell them where to stop. You know what I'm saying? I mean, think of it this way. You know, if somebody's in Aledo, Texas, and wants to drill a Paluxy well, it's easy to say you've got to penetrate the Paluxy, right? If somebody's in Wise County and wants to drill a domestic antlers well, we're not going to, you know, over there, you know, Eastern Wise County, where the bottom of the antlers is 800 feet, you're not going to make somebody drill an 800 foot domestic well. Does that make sense? So we can't make, I mean, it wouldn't be right to make someone, every applicant, fully penetrate the antlers.
Well, I think that makes sense. And I don't know that we need them to always do that. But our rules say to fully penetrate the aquifer they're in. My understanding and my reading of them.
I know that is in there. It's been a minute since I've read that section the way it's exactly worded, but there is a section in there that talks about that, yes.
Well, I think that's something we just need to bear in mind and either look at in the future changing if it's not appropriate.
Yep.
Do we need to provide an exception for these and similar wells that aren't going to need to penetrate the full depth?
Yeah, because I mean, again, in Wise County with the antlers, I just liken it to, like, you know, we can look into, technically speaking, you know, there are still five geologic formations. They're just kind of blended together. They're interbedded sands, shales, and clays. You know, there's not a defining aquitard that separates them or a unit. Like the Glenrose has transitioned away from limestone and has transitioned to mostly shale and clay up there. So I understand what you're saying. In my mind, I had always placed that from here south, where we're talking about the actual three distinct units, because I go back to, you know, there's hundreds of wells in Wise County. I mean, you know, someone drilling a domestic well, I mean, to 800 feet, that's just not feasible. But, you know, if you're saying fully penetrate the aquifer, well, maybe fully penetrate the formation, the geologic unit. And technically, in most of those areas, they're producing out of either the geologic unit that is the Paluxy or the Glenrose, even though they're not, you know.
But one would have the argument downstream that look at the available footage of water.
Exactly.
Depth of the aquifer is not that thick. It's giving it up on the outcrop side, downstream side.
Exactly.
I guess what I'm looking for, Doug, is consistency in following the rules. And if the rules we just passed aren't appropriate, we need to look at changing them. We need to. But
correct.
If we're suggesting that this individual doesn't need to follow them, I think we need to.
I just don't think that what you're suggesting follows the spirit of the rule.
That's fine.
I just had a note from Brian. It's fully penetrating or have 50 feet of water over the pump.
Yeah. And they're going to have hundreds of feet of water over the pump.
Oh, okay.
So, and that's why I didn't want to speak, because I haven't read that section in a minute. So
that's rule 4.4B, subsection B. Subsection
so they're clearly meet our rules.
Thanks, Brian. Okay. But that's a good point to watch, and we need to watch on those.
Yeah.
But that takes care of the antlers issue, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever's most difficult.
Yeah. So where we are...
I just want to know one of you said they're going to be filling their tank up too.
Yes, they have a pond. Well,
the question is which 1 million gallons going to do it?
So
what's
that,
going to happen if it's a dry year?
So that portion of it is not included in the 1 million, Don. Water used for agriculture, which includes wildlife, is exempt from this. So that is outside of this 1 million gallons. What they're asking for is the 1 million gallons for the clubhouse.
Just for the clubhouse.
Yes, sir.
Are they going to do a dual?
Yes, sir.
One's meter, both of them meter, but one goes one way, one goes the other.
Yes, sir. The exempt side does not have to be metered.
It's not metered?
No. It's exempt. We can't, you know, it's
we
exempt.
Can't track it.
It's exempt. Yeah. But the water use going to the clubhouse is absolutely non-exempt commercial use.
Because that was a question I had, just to clarify. Thank you, Kyle. So, we had somebody want to speak on this, or do they need to? Your recommendation is to approve the application.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We've clarified the issue about fully penetrating, so we're covered on that. So there really are no outstanding issues on this. Does the speaker wish to speak on this, or do they need to?
I believe the applicant's online. Do you have anything to add?
I had nothing to add. It was very interesting and very educational.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any further questions or discussion from the board? Everybody clear what we're doing? Chair would entertain a motion to approve the application for Solitude Ranch LLC.
So moved.
Motion by Director Watts. Do I hear a second? Second by Director Micah. That'll work, either one. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item B, applicant for Mahindra R. Modi.
Yes, sir. Mr. Modi is proposing to drill a well for an RV park, for a small RV park just north of the office, just slightly northwest of here, just a few miles over the county line. You can see on the map. It's just immediately over the county line into Wise County. They're proposing, they're actually, at this time, the one 15-gallon a minute well will be used for the RV park. They are drilling a second well on the property. There has been discussions. They may or may not eventually use that for the RV park. We've got it set up in a way where they can amend, if they ever want to, they can amend the operating permit application and add that well in. But this time, just the second well would be used for the RV park. Meets all district spacing requirements, no exceptions requested. You can see on the map here, meets all of our spacing requirements from property line and from, there's no other existing wells. So there are other wells, it's a 10-acre property, the other wells up on the front of the property. So as far as their total allocation, the rules talk about, you know, again, the acreage, thickness of the aquifer, and multiply by 500, but we also deduct an estimate or acreage off for any other exempt registered wells. There is an exempt registered well on the property, so 2 acres was deducted off their allocation. And so that comes to 10.029 acres minus 2 acres times the total aquifer thickness, 323 feet. They're proposing to drill to 380. So obviously they're proposing to drill through the, at least to the base of the aquifer, if not past it, but that's, they'll probably hit the red bed and stop. So they are fully, so they get the full allocation, 323 times 500, comes to 1,296,683.5 gallons. They're asking for 550 gallons per year. What? 500,000? I'm sorry. That's a, yes. Yeah. I'm sorry. 550,000 gallons per year. Again, we did two types of impact analysis. The first one is the local impact analysis. You can see on the bottom, the map, the proposed well in the center. A well was placed 150 feet northeast, south, and west. An observation well was placed northeast, south, and west at 150 feet from the proposed well. The model shows less than a third of a foot of impact, less than a quarter of a foot of impact to the proposed well, and less than a tenth of a foot of impact over 10 years to the in the surrounding area. So very little impact. Again, it's a smaller well, not producing much water on an annual basis. We also did a GAM analysis of, for the look at regional water impact. This added 1 acre foot to the outcrop of the antlers that you'll see in the first table. In the second table, again, no additional water level decline based on the proposed project. So no regional impact of the by the proposed project. Again, Mr. Modi has applied for an operating permit, is requesting 550,000 gallons per year. My recommendation is a motion to approve the operating permit 192WOP as presented in the amount of 550,000 gallons per year. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Board have any questions? You said if he does do a second, add a second well to this, he'll come in to amend his operating permit.
Yes.
He'll stay under the million too.
That's correct.
Okay.
And if they ever happen, yes. I mean, if obviously he would be an amendment, but
yeah,
it is set up. Then we've had that discussion with them. They're very helpful.
Okay. Does the board have any questions?
Do we know how many RVs they're proposing to
serve? At this time, 14. Isn't that correct, Kyle?
That's yeah, four, correct. Four. To stay under the TCDQ.
The threshold. The threshold.
What difference does that make?
That's another topic. Any further discussions? If not, Chair, to entertain a motion to approve this operating permit application.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Director Berkeley. Do I hear a second? I'll second it. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. I'm going to close these public hearings at 5:45 a.m. Regular meeting agenda, consent agenda, which includes minutes from public hearing and regular board meeting on November 15th, approval of bank statement ending November 30th, approval of investment report, payment of bills and invoices received through December 16th, reimbursement expenses incurred on behalf of the district through December 16th, approval request for extension applications submitted through December 16th. And we do have one other, two more.
I have two. Tracy, you submitted expense report mileage from the July meeting through this meeting.
Correct.
In an amount of $525.38. And then Director Micah has submitted an expense report for the November meeting and this meeting in the amount of $49.28.
Yeah,
that would be add to the consent agenda.
Okay. Anything need to be pulled to the discussion? Chair to entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Director Berkeley. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second by Director Micah. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Discussion regarding potential violations of district rules by Mintmar Land LP in Hood County and take necessary action. Doug?
Yes, sir. So this occurred in what was the Crescent Crossroads property just north of Crescent, Texas. In September of this year, Blaine, so the Crescent Crossroad wells are part of our monitoring well program. Blaine was on site to measure water levels, found that the meter on well 312 appeared to not be functioning correctly. And he also noticed a fairly significant amount of water leaking from the water tower nearby. That day, the owner of Crescent Crossroads, Mr. Ike Thomas, was contacted and notified of the situation. And he was told that it needed to be corrected or it would be on an upcoming board agenda. In October of this year, Mr. Thomas sold the property to Mitmar Land. We were not notified at the time. In December, so just, I guess, last week, Blaine was out there and found that the meter was still not functioning correctly. And I've got some pictures, and that the water tower is still leaking a fairly significant amount of water. And I've got some pictures and videos. I'm going to show you that here in a second. Prior to contacting the owner, we did find out that the property had changed hands. And so I'm not sure if the current owner was aware of these situations. I doubt very seriously the previous owner had made them aware of it during the transaction, but I don't know that for a fact. So what you're looking at here, I'm going to show this first one. I can get my mouse over here. Here's a video. You can see water running out of the water tower there. You just missed it there on that picture on the screen. And we're going up, and Blaine's walking around the water tower. And he gets in the water tower, and it's quite clear that there's a decent amount of water pouring from up high into there and then flowing out. Blaine measured it running out of the tower at 3 gallons a minute. I did the math. That comes out to just over 4,000 gallons a day that's being wasted. So additionally, the meter, you see the picture of the meter in September and December, the meter only rolled about 43,000 gallons. This well produces water for a concrete plant and pumps almost nonstop. It's very likely the meter shows in 3 months it only 43,000 gallons are pumped. It's very likely about 43,000 gallons a day is pumped out of that well. So the meter is obviously not functioning correctly. We've talked to their owner's engineer, and he agreed that it couldn't possibly be right. So we've got two potential violations, one for an improperly functioning meter and one for waste of groundwater. It is worth noting that technically both of these could be multiple violations, a violation for each and every day that a recurring violation was happening. Because the current owner wasn't aware, you know, the district had never contacted the current owner. We weren't aware that the property had sold until recently. My recommendation is not to come down on them hard. My recommendation is to find that a first violation's occurred, but a minimal penalty. You know, I put less than or equal to $250. I don't want to come down too hard on the current owner, because if they didn't know, they didn't know. You know, it's a large property. They knew there had some wells on it, especially with the meter. I don't know that they knew that was happening. But as part of my recommendation, I would ask that the board set a hard deadline to require them to install a properly functioning meter by the end of this year. That way we can start next year's reporting period with a good meter. Provide the district with their electric bills, meters from their readings from their electric meter. That way the district can then identify the amount of water that was actually produced from the well. If they can't produce the electric meter readings, then something to my satisfaction that we can identify the amount of water that was actually produced from that well. And then the last requirement would be to have them complete repairs of the water tower so that waste is not occurring by the end of January of next year. I know that that kind of repair takes time, and maybe that's enough time, maybe that's not. And I was going to ask Tim what you thought. I know it's a tough time getting stuff right now, but the fact is that is clearly waste of groundwater. When you look at the definition of waste, it's flowing or producing water from a groundwater reservoir by artificial means if the groundwater produced is not used for beneficial purpose. Just running out around the tower is not a beneficial purpose. So I get it that like it's not something they're going to run out and fix tomorrow, but I do feel we need to put a pretty hard deadline for them to fix the water tower and the leaking issue.
Do we have any idea how long that meter's not been working?
We have no idea.
Do we know if they, you said the water is used at a concrete plant, cement plant?
Yes, sir. Right down there near the bypass in Crescent.
Is that the main user, or is it one of many users?
That is the only user of that.
Or is the cement company, is that an entity separate from?
It is. So they should be able to provide us. So that's why, you know, that's the second route. Like if they can provide us with the electric meter, because I think there's a meter just for that well. But they could also, if they know how much water they've sold,
if they sell the water,
then that would be acceptable.
And then, you know, you're talking about a $250 fine, but you know, you buy something, you know, if there's a gold mine, you get that. And if there's a leak, you get that. Gosh, they sell the water plant and they don't inspect it.
I'm not going to speak to
they either
have, how people do business.
Well, if they are that lackadaisical, it must mean they've got a lot of money and they don't care.
I'm not going to speak to how people do business.
I have some real heartburn with the waste of the water. If I calculate it right, at 43,000 gallons a day.
4,300. Yes, sir.
Okay, so that's... Do you know what the cost would have been at 22 cents per thousand?
Yep. So they would have to pay us for that water anyway, because it's already gone through a meter. So they are still paying us for that water.
Well, the meter's incorrect.
No, I think that's a separate meter. Yes. There's multiple wells on this property. Okay. It's a separate well that's providing water to the water tower, and that meter is functioning correctly. Okay. So they're not very far away from each other, but...
Metered at the well, or is it?
It's metered at the wellhead.
Okay, yes, sir. Before it goes in the water.
Yes, sir. So the water is being metered, but the problem is it's just being wasted afterwards. And ultimately, again, it's y'all's decision. My concern is that it just get fixed. You know, I'm.
That is pretty stupid.
The problem is that the person who had the problem sold the problem.
That's the problem.
We don't know how far back that problem was existing, and the water's leaking.
And a lot of these contracts, you buy the assets, you buy the liabilities.
Yes.
Yeah.
But as far as the penalty for the waste, most of the onus would probably roll back to Mr. Thomas and not to Mintmar.
Yeah.
I think that's where Doug is.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm coming. I just try to be, you know.
Do you have a historical use? Say a year ago.
So they weren't pumping water for the concrete plant a year ago.
So no historical use.
I don't know that they really.
I'm actually not sure when that well was pumping before that.
Yep.
I just know at one point the well was within their system, the Crescent Crossroads began to report. I'd have to go back and look to see when. There was some confusion on the part of the owner at the time and system operator as to which well was which. District staff spent a good amount of time sorting out which one was which and finally got that resolved shortly after.
I'm going back to 2008. Is this one of those wells Mr. Thomas put in right before our rules went into effect?
Yes.
I mean, he literally filed these after correct. Christmas from 2008.
So they registered. Of course, they did drill maybe 8 wells, a dozen wells.
Yeah.
But then they also registered wells that were 8-foot holes that they set casing in that we've since told them that's not a well.
Is there? I'll go along.
I just remember the name.
Yeah. I'll go along with the violation, but I think there's more to this because the amount of water that was wasted. That's a major issue. I just don't want
the guy, like he says. Why didn't they inspect the
property that they were going to buy, if they could see a foot of water at the bottom of it, they knew there's a problem.
And I don't know, we've talked to, was Grant aware of the issue?
He said they were made aware of after they purchased the property, I believe is the exact reason.
And I know that they've, I would assume they've made efforts. I mean, look, Doug is I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. I do recognize that it's been a weird time and it's difficult to get stuff, to get contractors, to get materials, but which is, in my opinion, again, and this is just my opinion, it's y'all's decision. I don't think that this warrants a really heavy slap on the wrist unless they don't fix it. I just think that the issue just needs to be fixed.
So do you have any insight about, is this a real change of ownership or a change?
Yes, it's a real change of ownership.
Real change.
Yes, sir.
Group of people.
Yes, sir.
Not just a name
change. No, sir. It's a real change of ownership. The people that have purchased it are looking to develop the property. The people who purchased it are developers out of Parker County.
How large a tract are we talking about?
A little over 400.
I think this one's 460 acres. It's not small.
400 acres?
I think the
highest part
for this is about 460 acres.
I think this tower I know, Tim, obviously you do. I don't know how many are familiar and drive through Crescent, the tiny little home village that they built right there north of the intersection. This is the well and the tower that provides water to that, correct, Kyle?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Doug,
you have your own tiny town in Crescent?
It's not just a little one. How many homes do you think are there, Tim?
I think there were 600.
There's a lot. I mean, real small, like, but much bigger than this room and stacked right next to each other.
Doug, here's my concern.
Yes, sir.
A $250 fine on an operation like this, that's a blown out tire.
Yeah.
That's an incidental cost. It probably occurs every day.
Yeah.
Probably not going to get anybody's attention. It's a lot to come out of our family budget or personal budget. But when you're operating a business, that's literally, it's probably half of a blown out tire.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned that it's just maybe cheaper not to fix it.
Well, and that's why, again, y'all's decision. Like I said earlier, I like to give folks the benefit of the doubt. I like to give them the opportunity to fix it, especially since we had never had any interaction with the current owner to say, hey, fix this. Because generally when these things come up, you know, either myself or Kyle has a conversation with folks, hey, fix this. If you don't fix it, we're going to put it on the agenda. People take care of it. We never had that opportunity, but I wanted to get it on the agenda because it's already been going on a while. And I wanted the board to set a hard deadline.
So one thought is, can we get them? I understand things are hard to get right now.
Yeah.
Can we give them a deadline that they either need to get it fixed or have documentation from a repair that it's been ordered?
I like that.
What's that?
I like that. I like that suggestion. Yes. Either get it repaired or have provide something to us that you have started the process to get it repaired.
Whether you've ordered it and it's on order and Amazon's going to deliver in 12 days or
exactly
whatever it is, but that way we know that it's on the way.
Yes, sir.
So I think that would be one. I don't like the wasted water, but I think we need to give this new owner an opportunity to get this resolved. And there's two issues, the leaking tower, as well as the meter.
Yeah. And our, even though we give them that late January, I mean, our board meeting is late enough in January that I'm going to be able to give you guys a pretty good update. And if just next month, I mean, again, I just want to remind y'all, if they don't, you know, fulfill their requirements, then next month we can come down a lot harder.
Could we? Go ahead. Could we, you know, I think there's a lot of unknown here. You know, what's it going to take to fix it? Are the parts available?
Exactly.
Could we just table this for a month?
Well, we need to set a deadline for them to fix the tower.
I would.
But see, that tells us, they're either in or they're out. They don't need a formal ruling from us. You tell them to get it done right away. If not, when we reconsider, then we've got their attitude.
No, We can do that.
I mean, I'm just saying that's
no.
You're sympathetic. I don't know that we as a board, I kind of get the feeling we're not as sympathetic as you, so you must know more facts. That's fine.
Well, and so I think my view is by what I've proposed is doing that, but putting a little formality to it.
Well, I'm going to agree with the blown out tire. I just fixed one that's a heck of a lot more than 250.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think if we don't do something right now, then we lose our ground as a second violation.
Well, and that's
I've already mentioned that.
Yeah. You don't go buy something this big and not inspect it.
And, right, and yeah, that's the whole point. About that becomes a civil matter between the buyer and seller about who's going to pay or
And keep in mind, and Ann just pointed out, and I mentioned it a second ago, but I mean, you know, they are getting penalized because they do have to pay us for that water they wasted. I mean, I know technically that's 4,300 gallons a day they wouldn't have had to pay us fees for, that they're going to have to pay us fees for. But, you know, again, my concern is this, just them getting it fixed. Yeah, I mean, I can say we table this and I have a conversation, but if I send them a letter saying, here's a hard deadline, it has a lot more weight to it than just...
Let me make a suggested motion and everybody can adjust it. Finding of two violations, one for the improperly functioning meter with a proposed penalty of $250, and one for the waste of groundwater and a proposed of $250 with a notation that if it is not repaired by January 31st of 2022, we will find it for each succeeding day is a separate violation, which would take them to their second violation level, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Which is up to 1,000.
Five thousand
per day.
Well, it's
beyond the blown tire amount. Now they've got something hard in front of them.
Technically, Tracy, it's 5,000 for the
first day,
10,000 for every day after that.
Right.
So that's what we could find them.
But that would give them a chance to correct it or provide you with documentation that they've got the repair man out there, they've checked it, they've ordered the parts, and they're waiting for the parts to be delivered.
Chris. Yeah. What date did you give?
Well, and we can discuss that. He had January 31st. Our meeting next month, I believe, is January 24th. That's
correct.
The agenda will go out the preceding Wednesday, which will be the... 15,
well, Monday will be
17th,
18th. Right. January 17th is the previous Monday.
January 17th is a holiday.
January 17th is the previous Monday.
So I think
go ahead.
One thought I have is I see three things they need to do. They need to replace their meter so they have a properly functioning meter. They need to fix their tank so it stops leaking. And they need to provide data to us on how much water they've used since the last time the meter worked appropriately.
Right.
And I think if they can provide us by where I would be leaning is by the 17th of January, either have all of those things fixed and documented or
a path forward,
show they're moving forward, they've got things ordered, they have people coming out. That gives them nearly a month to get those things rolling. If they can show us, you know, we can take it up on the following meeting on the 24th and determine, do we need to fine them anything, or are they, these new owners, are they on the, you know, getting on the ball and getting this fixed? If they're, it's kind of like last month when we had the two well drillers who had, you know, violations. Mm-hmm. One we caught and we put in stiff penalties. The other one self-reported, they still had a penalty. And if we need to do that next month, we can do that. But, you know, to me, if they're willing to respect the what needs to be done out there and take care of their equipment, I'm willing to work with them. That's my position.
That generally the direction the board wants to go?
I believe so. I mean,
I understand what you're saying. We don't need the water wasted.
Right.
Even though we're collecting fees, we don't need to be collecting those fees. We need the water protected.
I just think at some point, district's got to show teeth.
And I think I'll
go along with him. We need to sit down. We make sure we're getting paid for the water that's being wasted. That's no questions. There's no
Yeah. No gray area.
No, they have to do that by
rule. Here with the idea of waiting a month to go ahead and say, hey, we voted that it is a violation. We voted it's going to be a second violation. If this is not repaired by
January 17th,
whatever the date we set, it's automatically a third violation. And you will be fined at least by the first two violations, no matter what. But we're going to give you 30 days or 60 days or whatever we need. Something in that line. Because there's no reason for them not to know that it's leaking and we need information why it's not repaired. You can't tell me they can't get a gasket.
I think Mr. Knave laid it out very well.
Are we looking at any fine between now and then? Or yes.
We need to make a finding on first major violation or two first major violations because they were concurrent, which at least gets us to the second.
Yeah, and you don't have to put a penalty fee on them. That's up to you guys. But, I mean, you know, basically, you know, Shannon summarized, I mean, it's very similar to my wordy recommendation up there. Because I listed four things, the Shannon listed three. The fourth one I have is just the penalty fee, and I still think that's a. If you want to change the date, that's fine. You can remove the penalty fee, and it's still just like what Shannon has talked about.
Well, I assume you wanted at least some first violation penalty fee.
I don't know that I am. I mean, okay. I'm
open. That's the way I heard what Shannon was saying.
I mean, the mood of the board is yes, we want to. Put a penalty in because of what's going on. I'm fine with that and I'll support that. My thing is I'd like to give them a month and give them the opportunity to prove that they're going to stand up and take care of this. And if they do, I'm willing to, let's move on down the road. If, you know, today's the 16th of December, by the 17th of January, if they've done nothing,
then
we can show all the teeth you care to show.
Yeah, that was my thinking. That was my thinking behind
this. I'm not concerned so much about the penalty of this time. It's if they don't stop the leaking and the wasting, then we come back.
They either need to have it done or something in motion to take care of it by the 17th.
You need us to reset the motion, or you got what you need?
I we'll work on it. I know what it should be, and I'll make sure we get it right. But my only question is, do you all want a penalty fee or not?
No.
Okay.
He wasn't including that. I think
it's just 2, 3, and 4. It's,
we want to stop the
it's
waste.
Two, it's 2, 3, and 4.
It's not important to stop the waste. Is correct.
Correct.
Okay.
Or the other question is, or what? Do we decide on the or what?
I think we.
It'll be back on the agenda.
If in my understanding, if they do not have by the 17th, we're going to set a show cause hearing for our January meeting. And Doug knows where to go with after that. And at that point, we're jumping up to second and third violations.
Yeah.
Daily violations.
Yeah. And all that doesn't need to be in the minutes. I mean, that's the stuff I'll put in the letter.
That's your letter with them. That's your instructions. Staff right. knows where we're going if we get to
correct. Yes, sir.
The only other thing I have to add, when staff's in a situation like that, they're in a dangerous situation. You have to be aware that they can properly recognize and.
Yeah,
and also the customer, the owner of the well, presented a hazardous situation to staff.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I mean, it's not a safe situation at all.
Probably not a situation that you return to alone.
No.
Yeah. Rubber boots. Everybody. Without me restating the motion, does everybody understand what the motion is? You make that in form of a motion.
I make that in form of a motion. Well, item 2, 3, and 4.
Speak louder. I want to make sure I hear every word of it.
I make a motion with a recommendation, or make a motion that we follow general manager's recommendations 2, 3, and 4. With changing the date to January 17th, 2022.
Both dates are just the date on the tower and still December 31st for the meter?
December 31st for the meter.
And my reasoning on that was to start the next reporting period with a good meter.
Yes.
Or, I mean, they can still, I mean, if they can't get the meter by then, at least provide us information they've ordered one.
I thought we were going to do nothing other than this.
He has information, including the cover letter from them.
Should that be in the motion?
Well, he's got the January 17th date in there. That is with that, that they have to have this by the 17th or we're setting a show cause hearing.
Got it.
Correct?
Correct.
Okay.
That's my motion.
That help you clean it up? All right. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second by Director Wilson. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item number four, discussion regarding the potential expiration of the following historic use permit applications and take necessary action. Doug?
Yes, sir. Got four historic use permit applications, 097M for system 097M, 074M, 169P, and 173P that I have put on the agenda for the board to determine they have expired. So the first two, 097P and 074P, kind of fall under what's described in Rule F.2, where it basically says that, you know, as part of my review, I identify any shortcomings in the application, anything that's not complete, any deficiencies, and I send them a notice. And after 90 days, after they receive or after I send that notice, the board can then determine that the application has expired. So for the two that we're talking about now, and I don't know, I hope it's not on y'all's screen. I don't know why it's cut off on the left up here on the big screen. Mr. Lewis Thompson in Montague County, notice was mailed July 20th. The deadline, the 90 days after that, was October 17th. The deficiency identified was a failure to provide a numerical volume. So they didn't actually request anything in the historic use permit application. Historically, the well was used for oil and gas activity. The well's been turned over to the landowner, and he's using it for watering cattle, which is an exempt use. And the applicant has since stated that he does not intend to use the well to support oil and gas activity at any point in the future, and just wants to let his application expire. The other application, Payne Real Estate Holdings, LLC, also in Montague County, exact same situation. Historically, for oil and gas activity, they requested no volume in the application. After conversation with staff, they said they don't intend, once they fully understood that it was for oil and gas activity, they have no interest in doing that. They use their well for livestock, and they have no interest in pursuing a historic use permit. The other two, 169P and 173P, fall under Rule 2.3G, where it said any well included in a historic use permit application must be drilled and completed on or before December 31st, 2021. So if you remember, we adopted rules 2.5 years ago. We basically gave them 2 years to drill the wells that they had applied for. They have not, these two, the wells included in these two systems, these two applications, have not been drilled, and after discussions with the owner, I've got a little bit of information here. The first one's for Barco Land Company. Kyle's been in contact with both of them quite a bit. District staff has been in a constant contact with them, really in both of them. These folks kind of got in and put the cart in front of the horse a little bit, and they are fully intend to apply for an operating permit once they fully flesh their plans out. The second one for WPS-1 was four wells for an apartment complex in Willow Park. The owner of that development has since sold the property and has no interest in pursuing a historic use permit. He doesn't own the property anymore. So both of these, the owners have said they have no problem letting them expire. So my recommendation is as follows for the... Oh, yeah, I delete, you're right. Well, that's just on the, that was on the notice. It shouldn't be, it should be just Lewis Thompson, correct? Yeah, so my notice, the bottom one, so it shouldn't be 097 and 074. It should be 081. 074 and 081. So my recommendation is to find that the applications for 074M and 081M have expired as of today, and the applications related to 169P and 173P will expire on January 1st, 2022 if the wells are not drilled, which they won't be. Happy to answer any questions.
By Director Berkeley and the second by Director Nave to accept the recommendation of the General Manager regarding the expiration of historic use permit applications. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Management report, General Manager.
Few things in regards to all the violations we took up last month. They were all the settlement offers were accepted, and they've either been paid or they're moving forward with the one that needs to be plugged. They're moving forward with that. Again, I introduced Drake. I've got one other staff that will be starting at the first of the year, and y'all meet her early next year in our first meeting. That's really it. Delinquent customers, James Nelson system has since sold, I believe, Tracy. I believe they closed on it.
Have they closed on it?
I believe they closed last week.
Months ago.
So they have 90 days to transfer it. We've been in contact, but they're going to take care of that stuff.
For the board, that's a small system on the west side of Lake Nocono that he carefully drilled two wells, kept them separate so he didn't hit TCEQ rule. Regulation or authority, and TCEQ came and molded them together, and he sold out. And he was a problematic.
Yeah, individual. Yeah. One thing before gone, I told Tracy earlier, number of well applications received this year. Let me open this up. Jenny sent it to me earlier. We've received 154 applications in December, still waiting on 26 of those to be funded. That brings the total as of today to 2,058 well applications this year.
Half of those in Parker County?
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe a little bit more than half.
And every county is up over 30% from last year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's up everywhere.
Good county is up over 60%.
Yeah.
The question I had was the well that was 25 feet from the property line, and we said it had to be plugged. They had no concerns about that. They're rolling with that.
Yep. They've sent us documentation saying they're okay with it and they're moving forward with it.
I still would like for you somewhere along the line to give me a.
I would just be making it up. All right. 65,000. There you go.
You know what I mean.
I do, but I mean, but there's just no way I can give any better guess than that.
And you said we've had 17,000 since.
We have 17,000 registered wells in the district. So that basically means non-exempt wells, probably 600 of those were drilled before 2009. The rest of those were probably drilled since 2009. And that's all I have on my report, Tracy.
Item number six, budget amendments.
Yes, sir. So this is end of the year. Clean up the budget before so that the auditor doesn't come down on us. I'm recommending that we move $2,500 from auto insurance to auto fuel. Auto fuel, you know, as y'all know, the price of gas got a little bit steep there in the last couple months. $2,000 from our GMA8 line item, which we haven't had to spend that much because it hadn't been a lot of activity this year, to credit card processing. $500 from utilities to computer and software. We've had to have some computers and softwares that just went over. $500 from utilities to office expense other. $5,000 from temporary intern to medical insurance. $5,000 from temporary intern to payroll expense, $2,600 from website service to outside contract service. The outside contract service went over when we signed up for the security system. Yeah. $2,500 from legislative attendance to seminar and training, or where was no legislative attendance cost this year. And I've put staff through, we've had quite a bit of training and we've done some access courses for Jay and some other staff's done some stuff and some conferences. So my recommendation is approval of these as presented.
Got a motion from Director Berkeley. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second from Director Wilson. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. General Counsel's report. Ryan, you got anything?
Sorry, muted. No, I don't have anything that'll be of interest to your time.
Well, then in that case, I'm going to move right on. Our next meeting date is January 27th here in our district office at 5 p.m. Again, if anybody has anything to add to the agenda, contact Doug or myself and we'll move on.
27th or
24th? 24th, I'm sorry.
24th.
Thank you. Show were adjourned at 6:25.